star of
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you?
Doing very well. I had the privilege of going to my brother's college graduation this weekend.
Oh, hell yeah.
And got back on the bus, the city-to-city bus, something I missed so much during quarantine.
And I know that you enjoy that mode of transportation. That's your comfort zone.
Yeah, I walk in, they're just like, Mr. McNamara, you're back. Very excited about it. But I got to go. I went to Massachusetts. I went to my college for the first time since I'd been there. I'd only been there once in like the 10 years in between, so it was very exciting. But I had the fun experience of seeing at the party after drunk Boston moms, who are an incredible breed of people.
Hell yeah. There was a
beer pong game going on between four of the college students, and one of the Boston moms kept flashing her cleavage and going, "Yeah, I'll show my tits if it helps my kid win."
Oh my god!
It was something like I'd never seen in my life, so that was very exciting.
That is pure trash. I love it. That's great. Oh man, that'll be a fun therapy moment for that kid.
Well, let's bring in our guest. We're so excited. One of our favorite comedians.
Hold on, I got a nickname for him.
Oh,
the King of Twerk, Adam Burke.
That's actually my mother's maiden name.
So I'll twerk if it helps my son win beer pong.
I love your what were your two? You're the King of Snarkness or the Lord of Snarkness?
The prince of Snarkness. He's waiting for the king to die so that he can take the throne.
I just love the notion that you would have those nicknames unironically. I just love the idea of you calling yourself that in high school.
I think that should be, you should tour and just drop your actual name. You don't need Tommy McNamara anymore.
That's true. It's out.
I think Prince of Snarkness, and people will show up wearing like devil's clothes and stuff.
Hell yeah. Adam, have you been, getting back into stand-up? You've been able to perform live again?
Yeah. We've been slowly like knocking the rust off and doing some shows. Yeah, it's been good.
Hell yeah.
How's New York? Is New York...
Yeah,
it happened.
Cooking,
it felt
baby.
Like both slowly and very quickly.
But yeah,
it was like it seems like it's almost in full swing at this point. It's crazy.
It basically is. Yeah, it's insane. I just got an email that the seller's removing the plexiglass. They're just going to be, we're just doing it like it used to be now. It's pretty crazy.
People are acting like shitheads again. It's like we're back.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. Going like to Manhattan and just seeing people being insane, you're like, oh yeah, we're just fully back. Although I will say, the first time I went to the city during the pandemic, we biked to the city and we were like gonna walk on this like trail that's in the city or whatever. And we saw people like dressed to the nines, like going out clothes. And we were like, what the fuck are these people doing? Like, where is there to even go? It was insane.
I love that it's just a different social strata where someone's going, it's been ages since I've been to a ball.
Yeah.
Well, we're very excited for our topic today. It's very funny that you feed into my, I had a huge misconception about the band we're talking about. The band is Faith No More. And because the only two people I know who are big fans of Faith No More were an ex-Londoner named Mark Geary, who runs Lincoln Lodge, and Adam Burke, who's from Northern Ireland. So I was like, oh, they must be from the UK. Yeah. I was sure of it. And they are not.
No,
but Faith
right.
No More.
No.
Yeah, they're a bit like, they're sort of like the Bill Hicks of late 80s alternative rock, in that they, oh, that's my dog, by the way, my dog's a fan also.
Prove it.
They,
I think that's a stolen dog. Shut up back there.
they were sort of, I mean, I was just, you know, reacquainting myself with some facts too, but yeah, they were, and I'm always surprised too, that they weren't really, I guess they weren't as big in America as they were like overseas. They were just, and mm-hmm. I think they sort of got nudged out of the slot that they were vying for by maybe Chili Peppers. I think, you know, like they were very, very similar kind of vibe. And, you know, they're both kind of Southern California bands and very mm-hmm. kind of like, just like embracing their weirdness. And mm-hmm. I feel like I think in America they've always felt like it also rans to Chili Peppers, but I think they were just doing something completely different.
That's interesting that you say that, because they hate each other, the Chili Peppers and Faith No More. Mike Patton, in the book, according to this thing I was reading in the book By the Way from Anthony Kiedis, which I haven't read. I've read Scar Tissue. I'm wondering if they fucked up the title or if there's two different autobiographies. In that book, it says that Kiedis was like very much accused. He said it was like looking in a mirror to watch Mike Patton perform, and that he was just doing all of his stuff, and that the drummer, what was it? It was something about my drummer was saying he might have to kidnap Patton, shave his hair off, and cut off one of his feet just so he'll be forced to find a style of his own. And then that pissed off, that pissed Patton off, obviously. And so his other band, Mr. Bungle, retaliated by dressing as the Chili Peppers and parodying the band during a Halloween show in 99, adding offensive lyrics to their renditions of Give It Away, Under the Bridge. I know. How could they? Sacrilege.
Lyrics? Oh, no.
But
I think the lyrics are already pretty offensive. Stop glorifying heroin use.
But they, it sounds like they like tried to like dirty Weird Al these songs, and then they got kicked off of a festival because of it, because Kiedis requested, they threatened to not perform if that band got to play as well, because they were
I didn't
so
realize
pissed.
They hated each other that much. Yeah, this feels like a very 90s thing. Do you guys miss like bands having feuds? Like, it's like, I feel like that's gone away. Like Arcade Fire aren't routinely pissed at Bell and Sebastian.
And hey, if Bell and Sebastian wants to get in that fight, good luck, because there's
you're gonna get outnumbered.
Yeah, you're outnumbered so bad. I guess you don't. I feel like you don't hear as much about it. I mean, rap. No. There's a lot of that stuff.
Yeah,
but not. Yeah, not like alt rock feuds. Yeah.
But they used to, I mean, I guess, you know, that's because there used to be like a music press where they actually used to be able to make money.
Right.
So I feel like that was, you know, that makes sense to kind of make up all that. Apparently, I was reading something about that too, where Flea was like, I had no idea that we were supposed to be having a feud with them.
That's amazing.
You know who is doing it? That, like, I feel like some people are doing it. Like, I mean, Katy Perry and Taylor Swift, like, that was a big one. But it's right, like, it's not the rock stuff, though.
It's not a rock, yeah.
Right.
So were you still in the UK when you became a fan, or had you already moved to America?
No, I was, so this, like, late 80s. I think late 80s, I sort of became aware of that song, We Care a Lot. Which was mm-hmm. with their old singer. And then, like, we, you know, round about, you know, 89 or something is when we got, we got MTV, where we were living in London. And I saw, like, that video, Epic, which, you know, mm-hmm. it's considered to be their one hit over here. But, mm-hmm. and that kind of blew my mind. And it was so fucking stupid, because I was like, I like saw Mike Patton. I was like, oh. It was so weird, and I was like, "Oh, I want to be that guy." And I was like, "And I looked nothing like him, and all that." But he, like, to me, like, literally, what I thought was daring about Mike Patton is that he wore a shirt that had like Jackson Pollock splats over it, and I was like, "Wow, this guy's from Mars!" You know what I mean? Like, just because like North London was like so gray and drab and shit. You know what I mean? Like, I literally went to a school where we were a school uniform, so he looked like fucking. He was my Abby Hoffman.
Just any color was
any color. I know. Wait, white and red and blue on the same shirt. He's about to take down the government.
I'm looking at pictures of him because I hadn't seen what he looked like before. He looks like he could be on like the game or whatever. Like, or the
pickup artist.
Yeah, the pickup artist. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah. It looks like he could be in the pickup artist. He looks like a guy who dresses like that and like his facial hair is like that. But
he went through some looks. He had a later look where he was like a movie star look. But yeah, he was a good looking guy, I think.
Yeah.
But that's not what I liked about them too. I just liked that they're very odd. But my brother actually got the album, The Real Thing. And I like, and this is how old I am. I was like, I like stole his cassette of that and would listen to it on a Walkman while I did my paper route.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I know.
That's an old-ass story. That's so funny.
What's that?
You're right. That's an old-ass story. That's an old-ass paper route.
If you tell people you had a paper route, you may as well tell them you were a chimney sweep.
Yeah. And I remember,
Dooley defeated Truman, huh?
I remember my sister had an affair with the milkman, of course.
Right. Right. Our entire family was in delivery-based jobs.
Well, let's while we go through and talk about the band, let's play the early music first. I would say.
You already named one of the songs, so I feel like we should go ahead and listen to the one that you play or you mentioned. That's the older one, right?
We care a lot. I would say we should start this one at like 2:20 because that is the part I found the most fun of this song.
Okie dokie.
Something about that when he says the garbage pail kids just made me laugh.
Yeah, the song was originally just him saying this is 1986 over and over again. But it's so that's funny to me too that like Anthony Kiedis is like he stole my style. It's like there's kind of only one way for a white man to dance to that kind of music. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be like, you're going to do that quasi running man step. You're going to bang your head. Mm-hmm. I picked that one just because I want to do just a little, because they changed, because that was their original singer, Chuck Mosley, who apparently had a lot of like, you know, he was under the bridge. He was on top of the bridge. He was like all over the bridge, but he had issues, but like, I feel like that sound is so like Southern California 1986. Like if you see the video too about it, it's like, you know what I mean? They're you know, if they had a flag, it would be neon. You know, it's just very day glow. Guys who wanted to look like surfers, but were probably all like, would all drown if they tried to surf.
Since they're like making fun of like Live Aid and stuff, and it is, yeah, I do like making fun of like the schmaltzy stuff the music industry was doing at that point, so it is very funny, and I like
and I kind of like that too. It's like making fun of mainstream pop stuff, but also like a sound that would become kind of sort of mainstreamish, you know. I don't know if we want to get into this yet, but I do think that I think their sound is like, I think they're very experimental and they do a lot of things with their sound, but it's so like iconic. And there's no one who sounds quite like them, but they did inspire a lot of shitty bands. I think they're a great band that everybody took the wrong lessons from.
Who are you referencing when you say that?
Well, I mean, not to offend anyone, but like I know that Korn, Papa Roach, Limp Bizkit, all these people were like, they heard, it's like, oh, let's do rock and rap together. And what's funny is like, there's a couple of Faith No More songs where he kind of, but he doesn't really even sort of rap. There's a couple of songs, but they sort of accidentally laid down the blueprint for that. And
yeah, they called it rap. Mosley called it rap, where he said that he was like the Beastie Boys were rapping over, I think, pop and what did he say that Chili Peppers were rapping over something else that wasn't rock, and then he was like, we are the first ones to rap over rock. I don't know if that's true, but that's what he says.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, he also, like, bless him, couldn't sing. So, which had to have hurt too, because you know, they when they replaced him with Mike Patton, who I don't know if you know, is like one of the most versatile singers.
Yeah.
like around. And it's like, Chuck, we're going to go in a slightly different direction.
Well, the only two songs I knew, just because I heard them on the radio all the time, on like XRT and Q101, where I knew Epic and I knew Easy. And it always confused me that it was the same band. I was always right. Like, that's a typo. Yeah.
Right. Because Mike Patton, when you get into the Mike Patton years, is a guy who could legitimately like croon if he wanted to.
Yeah.
But also likes to do weird screaming, like satanic fart noise vocalization. And the other thing is too, like, it's interesting that you said that those are the two songs that you knew. And the reason I mentioned this to you a little back about, like, I was curious if anyone had ever done them, because it is that thing where they were bigger overseas. And what reminded me is that I listened to this BBC radio station like online, and they're always, this one show is always playing Faith No More, and people are always requesting it. And it's like, not even those two songs, like deep cut yeah. album, like stuff. And it's like, it's so crazy to me that there was a time where like Faith No More were just massive in Europe. And then people will be like, oh, the guys who did Epic, right? And
Easy. Yeah. The one hit wonders. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. They are. They're considered one hit wonders in America, but like not elsewhere.
Yeah. Wild. Should we go ahead and hear another song?
Yeah.
Let's hear. Let's go with from. I'll just go in the order that you sent them in, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's From Out of Nowhere. Found it. It was driving me nuts. I couldn't figure out where I knew that song from, and then I just found it.
Where did you know it from? Film or something?
So it is in there's a cover of this on the soundtrack for the 2012 superhero film. Wanna guess it?
No.
Well,
Man of Steel?
No. Bigger than that.
Is it Avengers Age of Ultron?
It's the Avengers.
It was the Avengers.
Yeah, oh, okay. Wow.
It was like some Joss Whedon shit. Yeah.
Like, yeah. But I knew it from the video game Madden NFL 2005.
Oh, there you go.
Because it was driving me crazy, because I was like, I don't know who the hell this is. Like, I when I listened to it, I was like, oh, when you sent Faith No More over, I had no idea who they were. And then I realized I knew Epic and I knew this song. And I didn't know why I knew this song, and this is why.
Isn't there like this definitely a category of American bands that are both big in Europe and big on video game soundtracks?
100%.
Yes.
That's right where their level is.
And not a bad place to be either. No, well, no, that no. seems like nice. Yeah.
No, not bad at all. I was about to say Jet, but then I realized they're not American.
Well, what do you think? I'm curious what you guys think of this, because that album is pretty poppy. It's it's pretty accessible compared to like where they would go. But that album's like I know the record label was like, oh, you know, at least thought they had at least three hits off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so funny because they can sound so different song to song, where it's like that one almost feels like a Coheed and Cambria song at certain points, where it's like the other one. I mean, it's just totally different. But I do like that one a lot.
Yeah, me too.
And I really like his voice, even though it seems like it's a million different voices.
Yeah.
But I do. Yeah,
he's an odd guy.
Yeah, he's a very odd guy. I was going to say I like his voice in spite of – I don't think that I like him. I don't know, just based on the stories I'm reading. We'll get into that in a little bit. But sorry, go ahead, Adam.
No, I was just going to say, and I swear I'll stop obsessing over this, because I hadn't heard the – I didn't realize the depth of the Anthony Kiedis thing. And I will say, in Mike Patton's defense, I don't think he has ever once sung the word California into a microphone.
We in America, we need people to say where they're from in every song. And that's how we can remember.
How many times has he used California, I wonder? Because there's obviously Californication. There's Danny California.
Danny California, yeah.
California, rest in peace. Yeah,
he seems like the guy that when you meet him, he shakes your hand and says, California?
He seems like a good guy, and I like him. Anyway, I like his music, and I like him. Let's keep this music trainer rolling, though. Next song we have here is the Cowboy Song. All right, here it is.
I thought I'd put a deep cut in for Faith No More Head.
I do love that bass sound they get, and I know that that's another way they could be compared to the Chili Peppers, but it's not like slap. It's just the way, I don't know, something about that tone is so cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's their rhythm section is so like distinctive. Again, like when you do these, do people have a really hard time getting it down to six songs?
Sometimes, and then other people will send us four songs and go, oh, I didn't read what you said at all. And then some people just ignore the prompt and just send us anything that comes to mind. Send us nine songs.
Yeah, because Tommy said is just the thing where I think, I don't know. I don't know what his fans like about them, but I think they like, that album, which this is an off take off of that epic, the Real Thing album, it was pretty commercial, but it was like it was pretty weird for a commercial album. You know what I mean? Like they looked weird. Their lyrics were kind of weird. And then what I kind of liked about them is that they were like, not weird enough. And they just kind of, they almost sort of like, I think it is weird that we're doing this dichotomy, but I think it also makes a lot of sense. Like, I think they went where Chili Peppers went. Oh, we don't need to have a song about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on every album.
I think that's where they went wrong, personally.
Yeah. It should have just been the entire starting line.
Every one of them deserves a song, even guys who rode the bench all year.
right.
But Derek Fisher, rest in peace.
And Anthony, where is that team based?
Say to them, Los Angeles Lakers. And don't even get me started on the Clippers. that's a good time.
There's not enough songs that include the line "Don't even get me started."
The guy who's like put upon while singing a song he wrote. Yeah.
That sounds like that should be a Fleetwood Mac lyric.
Yep, that's great.
Don't even get me started on Lindsay.
I was just thinking about Fleetwood Mac because I'm trying to This is so briefly related that I'm only going to say, this will be a quick aside, but I was trying to think of a way to get into this joke about, about feeling old. And I was like, what if I just went up and started singing, I'm getting older too, which is like a beautiful line, but when you just look at it on paper, it's dumb as hell. Like, yeah, no shit. We're all getting older. Yep. Anyway, I want to go through before, like, now that we're halfway through this playlist, I found this list of fun facts about this band that usually when you read these fun facts, they're not fun at all. They suck. Right. This
like
is
the drummer
one.
Died.
Yep. Fun fact number two. Yeah, this one is actually fun, where it's there's so many insane ones. Well, this one's just interesting. So before they ever made it into the studio, Courtney Love was a Faith No More vocalist in the early right. 80s. Faith No More right. keyboardist Roddy Bottom dated Love and maintained a friendship with her after she was kicked out of the band in 83. He's pictured wearing a whole T-shirt on the sleeve of Faith No More's 93 album, Angel Dust.
That's a H-O-L-E, not like an entire T-shirt.
Yeah, it's a whole T-shirt. He wore a whole T-shirt.
he liked her that much.
Fellas, you know when you were out of the club, you wear a whole T-shirt. let's see. This is one of my favorite. This is truly just a fun fact. Guitarist Jim Martin left the band in 1993. Do you know why, Adam?
Yeah, I think I read this quote. Is it about what he thought of the album Angel Dust? Is it that one?
That is not it. It's okay. That it's much more whimsical. It's that he left the band in 1993 so he could concentrate on growing championship pumpkins. He turned pro in 2000. One of Jim's 500 kilogram monsters won first prize in a Californian contest in 2007. The big pumpkins website includes Jim in a list of California's best pumpkin growers. Martin says he bought a packet of giant pumpkin seeds in a hardware store in 93 before he became hooked after learning radical techniques and implemented them with amazing results. That's just a nice way to say, like, sometimes you lose your mind, but it's in a good way. Like, some people, like, lose it to drugs and alcohol and stuff, but this guy is just like, yeah, I'm just going to grow pumpkins. I'm
hey,
hooked.
Jim, what are you up to since you left the band? Smashing pumpkins? Oh, you joined Smashing Pumpkins? No, I grow.
Pumpkins. And then I see they're smashing. That's...
Oh, look, we spend a lot of time in Europe. I talk like that.
That's so good. Yeah, there's the thing about the Chili Peppers in here. That part's great. This made me laugh where that so they toured with Billy Idol, Robert Plant, Lenny Kravitz, and Poison.
Yes. It's so weird, right?
Such a strange mix of artists that yeah. that toured with them. And the Led Zeppelin frontman Robert Plant, they said, super sweet, really supportive, a fan of ours, and a legend. It was flattering that he wanted to take us on tour. One day, we rode with him in the back of a pickup truck in some weird city and stopped and had drinks at a gay bar. That kind of blew my mind. That's the end of the quote. That's not a good story at all.
Well, they are one of the few, Faith No More is one of the few like hard rock bands to have an openly gay member.
That's right.
Yeah. Which is that keyboard player who dated Courtney Love.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
wild.
Whose name, completely unconnected to anything,
Roddy Bottom.
apparently when Jim Martin, actually when he left, one of the quotes they said when he left after Angel Dust, he called that album Gay Disco.
Yes.
And if you've heard the album, it's clear that Jim Martin has never been to a disco. He didn't
That's
realize
so
his keyboard
funny.
Player was gay.
That's really funny. Gay no drag show. let's see. There was a... Oh, this one's another... This is about keyboardist Roddy Bottom. So this is kind of like the pumpkin one. It's that he is apparently a competitive squash player and trains at the Los Angeles Athletic Club. And he's quoted as saying, it's kind of sexy. A weird thing to say about playing squash.
So squash, pumpkins, if you leave Faith No More, it's got to be somehow related to tuberous plants.
Let's see here. There was at least, there's one more that I have to read. Okay. This one's pretty gross. You might want to close your ears here, Tommy. So as the lyrics to King for a Day, Fool for a Lifetime's Cuckoo for Caca suggest, Mike Patton had an early 90s thing for obscene toilet humor. As well as drinking his own urine from his boot on stage in London in 93, he also enjoyed what he called shit terrorism, which I think is could also just be terrorism. Like, if somebody's putting shit on, like, abusing you with shit, you're not like, wait, is this shit terrorism?
For a sec, I mean, you almost hope it's just bad terrorism.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah, it's like lazy.
I was a real shit terrorist.
So some of his pranks included pooing in an orange juice container destined for Axl Rose and pushing a ball of... This one pisses me off so much. It's pushing a ball of poo into a hotel hair dryer so that the next guest to dry their hair would get hot shit in their face. Ain't that rock and roll? That's him saying that. No, it sucks. That sucks, man. And there's this thing where when you use a hotel, like, everybody's like, don't use anything. Don't use the coffee maker. People piss on the coffee maker and jizz on the hair dryer or whatever. And I'm always like, who would do that? And then you read that and you're like, God damn it. I can't use anything in the hotel.
At least you have an answer now. It used to be rhetorical, but now you can put a name to that.
I think Biden needs to come out against this. Shit terrorism will not be tolerated. And if he doesn't, I'm revoking my vote.
I was gonna say when he goes, "Ain't that rock and roll?" I like imagined asking Chuck Berry that, but then I thought Chuck Berry actually probably would think that was rock and roll.
I like the idea of him shitting in a like a hair dryer and then like calling, like, if somebody sees him doing it and calls their cousin, like, "Hey, I heard you were looking for rock and roll. Well, listen to this." Just a hair dryer with shit on it.
Mike Patton was like, "You know, I tried shitting on those hair dryers. I realized it was much easier if I turned it off first."
All right, that concludes the disgusting part of the show, and let's hear some more music here. Next song on the playlist is Land of Sunshine. Sunshine.
I thought you were just gonna say that is terrible.
That is music. The first comment on this song is, "I love Faith No More, and LOL, so do my mom."
T-shirt. I would like that on a whole T-shirt, please. I think the lyrics of that. I think I'm right. Said the lyrics of that are just a Scientology questionnaire.
From a fortune cookie messages he had collected and an entry exam to join the Church of Scientology. Yep.
And I was starting to get convinced by the end of it.
Yeah, I saw Tommy.
All right, I'm in.
Tommy was looking stuff up. He was
The album didn't sell that well, but the Church of Scientology did very well.
Damn it, I can't remember the Scientology like God's name or whatever. It's like
L. Ron Hubbard?
No, I was trying to think of that. Like, that's, aren't they? Don't they all get into a spaceship?
Oh, Xenu.
Xenu, that's it. I was trying to pull Xenu. Xenu, we got to get Xenu on here.
I know it's this is hard picking six songs because that album I think is like a lot of Faithful fans like that, like if they had to pick one, they would pick the Angel Dust album. Mm-hmm. And like I almost feel like I didn't even pick the weirdest song. Like they start getting really weird on that one. Mm-hmm. Like they have a song called Crack Hitler, which is like nuts. But the whole album kind of holds together. And like I know this bit isn't gonna be very funny, but like I think what I like about Faith No More, kind of like what you know, actually you sort of summed it up perfectly, Tom, that they're a band that is both into pumpkins and the shitting into hair dryers. Like, you know, like, I think their music is like very beautiful and like got lots of strings and stuff in it, but it's also got like a lot of dirty, like grungy guitar in it at the same time. And they, like, I kind of like that they're always pulling in two different directions. Like, the cover of Angel Dust is a swan on a lake.
Yeah,
and then the back cover is a meat processing plant.
That's great.
I think that's like, you know, if ever a band like summed their sound up,
yeah,
perfect. I think that's kind of what they're like.
This is a creepy ass cover too. The swan on it really creeps me out. I don't know why.
Why?
I don't know. It's just a creepy. I think it's because it looks like it's at night or something. It's like a night swan. I don't know.
Now imagine that same graphic, but now the title of the album is Gay Disco.
Now I'm in. Now I'm all in. The next song I am really excited to play. It's Star AD, and it's of course about the star of the Lakers, Anthony Davis. Let's hear. let's hear Star AD. I like that song. A lot of people think that song's about Kurt Cobain because of the lyric, when you die, you'll become something worse than dead. You'll become a legend. I like that one. That, you know what that one reminds me of? And I haven't seen them compared to this band yet, but it kind of goes in the same vein with some of the stuff we were talking about. But that one reminded me a lot of Incubus. That sounded like a straight up Incubus song. And in fact, I think that they owe Incubus some cash because they clearly.
You know, someone's going to not know you were kidding.
I know. And I'm going to get a shitty right tweet. Yeah. Incubus came later.
I think I did. I think I remember the first time I saw Incubus. I was like, hold on. More like succubus.
I love the dog heckles you.
The dog was into it.
Yeah,
that was the dog going, "Don't do it to him, Adam. Don't do it to him."
Big Incubus fan, the dog.
There's a great. I was reading. So critics hated this album when it came out, and there was
Kingford A for a Lifetime.
Yes. So this was the last album before they broke up. I mean, they got back together later, obviously, but before they broke up, and this is what Pitchfork said, which with a lot of old Pitchfork reviews.
Wait, is this for Kingford A or Album of the Year? Because I think they did one more and then they broke up.
Oh, this is for Album of the Year.
Okay. I didn't choose any songs off album.
oh, so they're different? Okay. Yeah. So they're the same they're in the same Wikipedia entry. This shows the kind of amazing research we can do on this show. But this was something they said about Album of the Year, which is it leaves one feeling like you're waking up and finding last night's used condom. Sure, the ride was fun while it lasted, but what remains is just plain icky, and you definitely don't want it in your CD player.
Well, see, they've never tried spinning an old used condom. You throw it in there, it plays beautiful baby music.
Also, a used condom in a CD player totally sounds like a Mike Patton prank.
Yep. That's perfect. That's really funny. By the way, I like the album art for this one way more. This one's really cool.
Yeah. I've got that
angry
album.
Looking dog with the cop. That's great.
I got the album free at college.
Ooh, is that like how U2 did it? If you just went to college back in the day, you just got this album immediately in your syllabus.
I went to some like nightclub and then the DJ was just handing them out. And I was really crestfallen because nobody else wanted one.
Before we get to our last song, did you ever see them, Adam? Did you ever see Faith No More?
I did. I've seen them three times. The second time I saw them was on that Guns N' Roses tour. I saw them at Wembley Stadium opening for Guns N' Roses. Here's the lineup. The lineup of the Guns N' Roses Wembley Stadium show was Soundgarden, Faith No More, Guns N' Roses.
Wow. Damn. That's crazy.
That is crazy. That would be almost. Go ahead. No, mine was stupid.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Tom.
No. Please. You go ahead. What I was going to say was stupid.
My first proper concert was also Guns N' Roses at Wembley Stadium, and it was Nine Inch Nails, Skid Row, Guns N' Roses.
Wow.
And then. But I got to see them. My girlfriend very kindly bought me tickets to see them a few years ago. They did a tour in 2015. And here in Chicago, they're at a venue, and it was so funny because it was almost like you couldn't get in if you weren't a balding white guy with a black T-shirt on. What was funny was it was 43-year-old guys, and I hope they had brought their daughters because there were a group of young women. It was like a group of young women like nervously holding like Cosmos. next to this group of like middle-aged fuckers trying to get like the slowest mosh pit but they were great. I mean, I think that, and if they're playing Riot Fest this year, I think they're really good live.
Oh, nice.
Wembley. It must have been so cool for them to play at the same place as the Detroit Lions. The most dumbass American.
Jacksonville East. Hollywood. Huh?
Yeah.
I think there was the same level of confusion at both events.
All right, let's hear the last song, and then we have some comments to get to. So here is the song Motherfucker about the star of the Lakers, LeBron James.
It's about Delonte West.
Oh, shit. Perfect. All right, I'm going to skip forward.
Promoted in an ode to pomp and style. Moisten in the feed while we choke upon the bile. Corner in the pocket on the geese without the bones. Hushing out the strike without a drone. The cage became collapsible.
I'm regretting this choice. This is not the maybe the best choice.
This is the only one I outright did.
I hated this. But we're going to hear it. I gotta turn it off. I at least wanted it to get to the part that didn't suck. Anyway.
Yeah, that one, that definitely feels like the band's gotten back into the studio after a decade off.
Mm-hmm.
What you got, Mike? Well, the other day I was trying to get this motherfucker on the phone. I can talk about that.
I couldn't. I had a problem with my cable bill, and I had to wait for hours. So that's my main thing.
Actual fans of Faith No More who could think of a much better suggestion than for number that's six. Really
but I like that you went chronological. For sure. The whole span. Yeah.
Yes. All right. So that's the playlist. But before we get into all that, we have to hear from the Peanut Gallery, and considering we put this all together in about 45 minutes or whatever, people had more comments than I was expecting. So first off, we go to the Patreon. By the way, join the Patreon. $3 a month gets you bonus episodes every friggin' week, and also you get guaranteed your comments to be read on the podcast. So first comment is from James Buntrock. He says, loved their hit Epic in the late 80s. Listened to it a lot, although I was slightly traumatized by the music video watching that poor fish suffocate. That's another fun fact is Bjork claims that that was her fish. So they don't seem to corroborate it with it, but
that's a great Bjork claim. I mean, I bet she just like, I bet it's not that her fish went missing. I bet she just thought she recognized that fish.
She claimed she like was gifted it and then happened to bring it with her to their party or something. And then they ended up using it or something.
That's confusing. On you, Bjork.
That's a very, quit bringing your fish around. That's not a pet that needs a leash. All right, Toby Braithwaite says, what a choice. Absolutely love Faith No More. Midlife Crisis sounds as good today as it did 20 years ago. Epic is the chef's kiss of diss tracks, and with Superhero in 2015, they proved they totally still got it. Mike Patton has to have the most distinctive voice in rock. Legends. All right. Tyler Kirby says Mike Patton was a collaborator and provided backing vocals on Bjork's mostly a cappella album Medulla back in 2004, specifically the track Where's the Line. Incredible album, and Patton sounds like a frog on that song, but in a good way. I like that. I like how that frog sounds.
Amphibious music I don't care for.
Tim Claridge says Faith No More makes music for people that ride bicycles on the highway.
That's amazing.
Dalton Littrell writes, this video of Mike Patton is an all-timer. It's a YouTube video. I'm going to click the link so I can read the title for you guys, but then we don't have time to listen to it. It's Mike Patton Moments Number 4- Shut the Fuck Up from 2011. So, oh, it is pretty quick. Maybe I can just play a second of it.
Shut the fuck up!
That is wild. He's in the middle of singing, they're screaming at him, and he's singing this very pretty song, and then he just flips this lady off and goes, shut the fuck up! It's so violent. That's great. All right. Thank you, sir. Okay. That was Dalton Littrell. Thank you. Gutter Car says, here we go. Newish Patreon member. Well, welcome. First time commenting. Wanted to be sure I got the vibe before chiming in. Faith No More's Epic first dropped when I was in high school. Combined with discovering Red Hot Chili Peppers, I thought this rap/sing-rock hybrid style was fun. Plus, I could sort of sing along despite being totally tone-deaf. The song with Booyah Tribe on the Judgment Night soundtrack was amazing. All right. Thank you. Good. Hey, you fit right in, Gutter Car. Well done. And last one on here is Andy Jaworski says, great band with a varied and interesting sound. They inspired a lot of terrible rap, rock, and new metal, but they also inspired the best of the genre. Their song Gentle Art of Making Enemies is basically the DNA that makes up the Deftones, System of a Down, and Incubus. A truly one of a kind who still puts on a killer live show. Nice. There it is. Somebody did make the Incubus connection.
I agree on the System of a Down thing. That is a good band, but I think that's
That's fair. Tommy, we getting you on Twitter?
I'll just read one since we're running out of time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Brad Chester said, the epic video is perfect as a historical document. Incredible encapsulation of how bad music and culture were at the time. Complete with them killing Bjork's fish at the end. That was very funny.
Amazing. I'll just read a couple here. We got a lot on Facebook. Jesus, this is crazy. Somebody said, where is it? Dan Mendenhall says, everything Mike Patton touches is gold. Well, some of it's brown, Dan. Jeff Lewis says, saw them open for Billy Idol in the early 90s at Deer Creek. Nice. Ben Frazier says, an amazing band that birthed many less amazing bands. Yep. A lot of Mike Patton love on here. Nick Scott Silverstein says, I had an ex-girlfriend say she didn't think we would last because of how much she disliked Faith No More. Also, I was doing an in-ring wrestling promo one night and people kept yelling over me, so I flopped on the floor like a fish, like Mike Patton when they'd play Epic Live until they stopped yelling. All right, buddy. Very good. Jeffrey McDonald says, I adore them. Every album is worthwhile, including the ones after Jim Martin. I never got to see them on their original run, but the reunion shows were incredible. They are responsible for a lot of crap new metal that came in their wake, but I don't blame them for that. Very cool. And, you know, I think we gotta stop reading them. So if you're, hey, get on the Patreon, people, if you want it guaranteed to be read, because we run out of time here. So we got to wrap this thing up. So it's time for us to rate the playlist out of 6, and I'll just go ahead and take a whack at it. Why not? Let me see here. There's somebody honking.
There's no time.
You know who that is? That's Anthony Kiedis. Yeah, I guess what his plates say.
California. That's so funny to just put California and then California is the state too. All right. I think, you know, I liked this. It's not totally music that's for me, but that doesn't, I'm going to try not to let that interfere. I hated Motherfucker. I liked Star AD. I liked Land of Sunshine. I liked We Care. I liked From Out of Nowhere. It reminded me of my Madden days, just running up, putting Brian Urlacher in it, trading for him at middle linebacker for the Colts, and then just gunning up a sack. It was a good time. So I'm going to go with a solid 4.25 out of 6. That is my rating. Okay. I had a good time listening to it. I liked it more the second time listening through, so... Yeah, 4.25 out of 6. What do you got, Tommy?
So I came in pretty similar. I came in with a 3.75. I did really enjoy listening to it. I loved, as you were saying, the versatility of not only his voice, but the music is really diverse and interesting in that way. I also didn't like Motherfucker, but I think the 3.75, it's all like parts of different songs almost, but I really enjoyed listening to the playlist and a band that, since I thought they were from England and since I thought two of their albums were the same album, clearly I was in over my head, but I had a good time talking about them. Adam, what do you rate the playlist?
You know what? You know, I fucked up on the Motherfucker, you know? I only picked it because this was last minute, and that's literally how you invited me onto the podcast.
Yep.
Get that Motherfucker on the phone. I fucked up, so I'll give it 5 out of 6.
All right. Fair enough. All right, Adam, is there anything you'd like to promote on the way out here? We got to get you out.
Oh, yeah. Any Chicago people, I'll be headlining the Comedy Bar June 4th through 6th.
Hell yeah.
Come see me. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thanks so much, Adam.
I love the podcast.
You're the best. I will be in Lafayette, Louisiana, June 18th, if you're into that sort of thing. And June 19th, I'll be in Houston, Texas at Riot Houston. So just follow me on social media to find all that shit. And then I'll be opening for Melissa Villaseñor at the Bell House if you're in Brooklyn on May 30th. So nice. Get out there. That's also my brother's birthday. And this weekend, Jared Thompson, the owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, is featured on Vice, the show Hunters. It's about the Comedy Attic and him finding local talent. I'm in it. Emil Wakim's in it. A bunch of all the locals are in it. So check that out. Tommy? Nice.
Oh, yeah. Just me and Luke Moniz, past guests, just announced we're doing our show Boardwalk again, this time at Union Hall, indoors, full capacity.
Hell
you have
yeah.
to be vaccinated to get in, but other than that, no other qualifications. Probably you have to be over 21, but let's test him out. You know, let's
get some fake. Tommy's IDs selling fakes here. Outside. He has them from all. Never mind. Anyway, let's just get out of here, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Get on the Patreon, and thanks so much, Adam. We'll see you guys next week. Keep it crispy. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.